Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. We didn't labor on Labor Day.
No, we did not.
No. No laboring here on Labor Day.
Well, the only labor I did was go get a new TV.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Got a new one, huh?
Dropped Comcast with the swiftness, got the new internet, and then I was like, you know what? You know, this needs a new TV.
Mm, as one should.
I mean, it's the picture quality, YouTube TV, significantly better. Significantly better.
Is it?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm right there. So, I'm gonna be there very soon.
Yeah, soon as old Zipley drops into your neighborhood,
yeah,
make the move.
What's going on?
Look, I got it in Newburgh.
They got me by
the short ones.
They do, yeah. Man. It's not. I don't like that.
Mm.
I don't like it.
No, it's not good.
And I sent out a tweet last week about, hey, if you like, they need to have like all the internet providers in one place. Mm. They have it for, and somebody's like, you have it for cable. That doesn't do the internet.
No.
It's just cable providers in your area. And then somebody goes, yeah, that's what a chamber of commerce used to do. And I was like, that's a good point. But do they still?
Do they exist still? Like, do they still function?
But is that in their wheelhouse still? Mm. Is like, hey, yeah, these are the places you can get internet. And I was like,
it is a utility that's kind of tied to your city.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You'd think.
Yeah, that was a great part about living in Ashland, Oregon. They had Ashland FiberNet. They had their own fiber optic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just
early
internet, TV. Oh, yeah, early 2000s. Laid down all those lines, and it was great. You knew where you were going to get it from. It was part of your utilities, and bingo, done.
I had the four box up for college football this weekend.
Ooh, you went Quadzilla,
oh,
huh?
Dude, it was incredible, because then I could keep, because there was a lot of crappy games.
See,
on.
That's why you need a new. That's why you need a bigger TV.
Yeah, so I could see what's going on.
Yeah, you don't want to have four tiny boxes.
No.
You got to have four major boxes.
So I got the 65 inch 8K enabled.
There you go.
What is it? OLED.
Ooh.
Smart TV.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
My wife asked me how much, and I said, "Don't worry about it."
All right.
Don't worry about it.
I think a lot of people are waiting to finally wait until the Blazers announce their network dealings before I think we see a true mass exodus.
I will just say, you can follow me.
Hint, hint. Mm. Wink, wink, wink.
If the guy that covers the team for a living is doing this, more on that next week.
We're going to have the longest drum roll ever. It's coming next week. We got that drum roll going. All right. We footballed so hard this weekend. How great was that? How great was it to just football?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Felt so good.
It was weird. It felt like I got to watch Florida State get the crap kicked out of them twice in the span of a week.
You did. No, you actually did get to. Is that a little bit more than a week? But you still got to see it happen.
It felt like it was the same weekend.
Sure, for Mike Norvell, it felt like the same day.
Just Groundhog Day from hell.
Bill Murray.
Ugh.
Over and over and over again.
All you see is running backs from gold helmets running over you?
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh.
Yeah, that Florida State team, not good at football.
Now we see why they don't get to fight over the war canoe. They don't deserve it.
Look, this is a bold move Florida State's going with here. Sue your conference, claim football supremacy.
And then be the worst team in Florida.
We got left out. We got left out. I don't know. Florida still may have something to say about that, but we will be able to see at some point this season. We belong. We're going to get out. Wrong. Maybe they do fit into the SEC. Maybe that
SEC where Vanderbilt is SEC supremacy.
It was a tough week for the SEC this week. The Big Ten went 17-1 on the opening weekend of college football, with quite literally the only loss coming as the very first day of college football season. Remember Minnesota to North Carolina, where they lit off the fireworks too early.
Oops.
Other than that, every other team from the Big Ten won.
Mm-hmm.
Some, not pretty.
No.
Oregon. Some, very pretty. Mm. USC.
Indeed.
Huh? I will also put Penn State into that, too, where they took a while to get going. There was a lightning delay, but then they just dropped the hammer.
The rain was insane. Did you see the floods coming out of the stairs?
Yeah.
Holy. The first half.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous outside.
Yeah.
It was playing like football nirvana. Then all of a sudden that came in.
Country
I will
roads.
Say, maybe I have to dial back my Drew Aller slander. He had three throws in that game.
He was only a sophomore
where
last year.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you dial back the slander. Mm. Maybe we stop the slander. Yeah. You can keep criticism, though. Mm. Criticism's okay. The slander was one that I was always like, guys, he's not that bad. He's
Cade just Klubnik
that
is.
He's that bad against Ohio State and Michigan, but he was good against literally everybody else.
Klubnik's that bad.
Yeah.
He's that bad.
Told you. No. Dabo's got some problems.
Who knew Cade McNamara, the better Cade?
Yeah. Well, no, let's not go that far.
Are there any good Cades? Name one Cade you've met, like, person or player that you've been like, I like that Cade.
McNown was really good in college.
I got a great Cade.
I have one Cade.
He was our quarterback last year, Cade Long. Love that kid. Great kid. Mm. He's playing at Whitworth.
Threw a good deep ball?
Yeah. He's an awesome kid, too.
There you go.
So
one Cade.
Yeah.
Up out yours. Of thousands.
Yeah. He's only 18, but.
So he's the outlier. He still has time.
Plenty of time to be a dirtbag.
No. No, I think he is going to be dirtbag free. But that, to your point,
Cade Cunningham is really the only one who's been like successful, and even then he's
Cade McNown was pretty good, but
in college.
I forget what he was. Well, we're talking about college, right? UCLA, pride of West Lynn, Cade McNown. He was good.
Going through famous Cades, it's not a great list. A lot of sports, a lot of athletes. But
well, it's a new name.
I guess.
It's a new name.
Well, Cade Courtley was an American television host born in 1969.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of these are born in like 98 or sooner.
Yeah, you've got.
Is it too early
it is
to
a,
attack the Cades?
It is too early.
Mm.
It is. I mean, that's like attacking a Braxton. You can't attack a Braxton.
You can attack a Braxton.
All we have is Braxton Miller that we know. It's like attacking Jalen, too. Like, Jalen is probably the name that is the newest, that is the most successful.
Guy Jalen or girl Jalen? Because those are two different Jalens.
Well, I don't know. Jalen Rose's mom created the name.
It's true.
So I would say
the proliferation.
I think I know more girl Jalens.
Do you?
That's interesting.
I think that's the way. It's like the new Alex.
I think I found the worst kid.
Okay.
Otto Adolf Wenzel kid.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That kid sucks.
Wait. Let's rewind this here. His last name is Cade.
Yeah.
Though. Okay.
But
I mean, we're not.
But still.
We won't go with the last
disavow
name.
Disavow that Cade.
Otto Adolf Wenzel.
We're not going surname Cade.
Disavow.
We're going.
Yikes.
No. First name Cades only. We're not going to give. Who was.
So Cade with a
who
K?
Who was Adolf Wenzel Cade?
It says German linguist, but born in 1927, so.
Yeah.
Little Third Reichy.
Sounds like it. Well, I mean...
No, guaranteed service age. Yeah, you would have been there.
Well, at like, what, 15? 1927 is when he was born?
Yeah.
So he would have been like WW2. He's right 17, at...
16, 17, yeah, which would have been... Things got desperate then.
Yeah.
Or, okay, my bad. So he's not Third Reich, he's Hitler Youthy.
There we go.
So.
There we go. But we don't know what side he was on. We don't know what side he was on.
We know what side he was on.
All right.
Also, Cade with a K, older name. Cade with a C is the newer version.
New and improved?
Mm. I don't know about that.
After that auto guy?
Yeah. It's kind of like when you, it's one you bury.
Don't
Otto Adolf is.
It's not.
That's tough.
Was a popular name back then, though.
Otto?
Was, no, Adolf was a popular name back then. And then, boy, that probably. I don't know if there's a more drastic drop off in name.
No.
Maybe it goes Adolf, number one, massive nosedive. Karen has got it.
Oh, Karen, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see any babies named Karen.
Bigger nosedive, Karen or Osama?
I don't hear any Attilas anymore.
Yeah.
That guy kind of ruined it.
Which is kind of sad because Attila the Hun sounds rad.
There's no Genghis's either. Like, those two guys really ruined those names.
Meanwhile, Alexander out here doing the same thing.
2,000 years ago, those guys really brought us down.
What?
Genghis Khan, bad dude.
We've got to bring it back.
Like Vlad the Impaler didn't stop Vlads.
No.
Right?
There's Vlads everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a vampire.
Yeah. Different Vlad.
But also a Vlad.
Vlad's a great name. Strong name. You can't be Vlad and be like a little scrawny dude.
Isn't the guy who runs the Robin Hood, isn't that guy named Vlad?
Who runs the Robin Hood?
Yeah,
the trading.
Isn't that guy's name Vlad? That guy's kind of sucks.
Yeah, sure.
I think his name is Vlad.
Mm.
Well, we're not saying that you have to be a good guy named Vlad.
You just can't be a scrawny little weasel.
No, I think he's scrawny.
I think he might be a scrawny little weasel.
Maybe it's Vladimir. If you go by Vladimir, then you can't be.
Sure.
Like Klitschko.
Yeah, I think we just get names and we're like, yep,
that's a Vladimir.
That dude is a guy who will just... pummel you. Yeah.
Or I think more correctly, Vladimir.
It is Vladimir Tenev, Robin Hood, CEO.
Okay.
There you go.
Look at the big brain on Ortner over there.
Over here getting his trades in.
It's probably because he got all feisty on Twitter and looked him up and was hate tweeting him at some point.
I did not hate tweet Vlad. I don't understand stocks. I got a guy for that. He handles it.
He was GameStop and he was like, no!
Nope.
Forget this guy.
Eugene handles my money.
All right. Shout out to Eugene. What's up, bro? Okay, we got a lot of college football that we got to get to today. But
do we?
Oh, yeah. We footballed so hard.
Oh, yeah.
We footballed so hard. It was a great weekend for the for the Big Ten. Also, weekend
for the former Pac.
RIP Pac-12.
Mm.
Former Pac-12 schools. Pac-2 schools had a really good day as well. And we got to get to all things in the world of college football. We also have it's NFL week one. Anybody notice that?
Oh.
Yeah. And now there's one holdout remaining in all of football.
Mm.
One.
Uno.
And then quite possibly the wildest story of the NFL offseason happened this weekend with Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, good Lord.
Holy
Absolutely
smokes.
Insane.
I mean.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And he walks himself to the ambulance.
To the stretcher. Yeah.
And then his mom is like through and through.
Yeah.
And
thankfully it hit the other side of his chest.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Terrifying stuff.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. Where we got to start this bad boy off. The Ducks didn't impress the voters. And the voters, they made sure they knew. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
This is the part where we talk about Iowa's offense, right?
No.
No.
My bad. What? Their offense still wasn't good.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's the most points they've scored in 3 years.
Yeah, make no mistake. The game that Kirk Ferentz is suspended for, they score 40 points. Which, make no mistake, it was Illinois State, and they had 6 points at halftime, two field goals at the half. All right, the AP and coaches top 25 have been refreshed. After week one of college football, the week two standings, not as kind to the Oregon Ducks as the preseason rankings were, and rightfully so, after a 10-point win over FCS Idaho in Autzen Stadium on Saturday afternoon. We're going to dive into that game, but the Ducks fall in the AP poll 4 spots to 7th. In the coaches poll, they fall 3 spots to 3rd. At the top, unchanged Georgia, after absolutely clobbering Clemson. That was a butt-kicking of galactic proportions.
That defense is the best defense in football right now. In college.
No way.
It was different. It was different the way that they got after it, and it was staggering.
Yep. 34-3 in Atlanta. They just absolutely embarrassed the Clemson Tigers. Ohio State stays at number 2. Impressive as you look at the final score, 52-6 over Akron. A little slow to start. Will Howard did settle in. Mm-hmm. He's got so many weapons. I think that when you look at Ohio State, I don't think it calmed any of the questions about, hey, is he the guy that in a big game is going to be the one that can kind of push you over the edge? But you looked at all of the weapons that he has. Jeremiah Smith, J.J. Smith, the wide receiver, who's a true freshman.
The top recruit in the class.
He is going to be a problem for college football. You add the fact that he's got Emeka Ugbuka on the outside alongside of him, Carnell Tate, and then the running back duo of Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Yeah, Ohio State is going to be really stinking good this year. So those two stay unchanged at the top of the top 25. Texas moves up to number 3, the Longhorns making easy work. But, you know, we were talking to our big boss man, Jeff Sacramento, who is a big Longhorns
fan. Mr. Texas.
He was like, I still got questions about the offensive line. 52-0 over Colorado State.
Which, remember, Colorado State was in a shootout with Colorado just a year ago.
Yep. Alabama in the Kalen DeBoer era started with a blowout win this weekend as well.
Good God, they ran all over them.
63-0. And this is what Kalen DeBoer is a phenomenal coach. And everybody's like, well, is he going to use, will Jalen Milroe be good in a Kalen DeBoer offense? No. Kalen DeBoer is a fantastic coach, so he tailors his offense to his players mm-hmm. and their skill set. They ran the damn ball all over Western Kentucky.
47 carries.
63-0. And probably the most jarring difference in Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer. Do you see how loose those Alabama players
were? Sidelines?
They were
getting the pick and then taking the, setting up for the photo.
And doing selfies, championship belts out there. Yeah. It's a different Alabama Crimson mm-hmm. Tide, but the results are still the same. They absolutely boat raced Western Kentucky 63-0. Coming in at 5th, Notre Dame, impressive win over the weekend as well. I
wasn't as impressed by that. I know it was a tough game. I don't know if Riley Leonard is going to be the guy. I mean, their schedule sucks, but
that's the game you needed him for, though. And the way that it played out, Marcus Freeman, defensive-minded head coach. I think that game far more indicative of what Texas A&M is.
Isn't.
And
Wigman was terrible.
Yeah, Connor Wigman is not very good.
Oof.
And they've got some serious questions that they need to answer. And Mike Elko in his first year, look, he inherited a dumpster fire that Jimbo Fisher handed over to him. Zero accountability for that team on and off the field. It was kind of the reputation that Texas A&M had down there in College Station. And under Jimbo, and Elko is changing a culture. They are a little ways away right now. But Notre Dame, to go on the road week one to Kyle Field and pull off a win, you know you're going to have a little bit of growing pains anytime you have a brand new quarterback that you're working in, right? And Riley Leonard is a battering ram. If you watched him at Duke, that game is how he's going to play.
Mm-hmm. He had 12 carries, 63 yards. Like, I mean, he was running the ball.
He is a load. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, they stay at sixth in the AP poll. Moved up to fifth in the coaches poll, though.
Boy, does Jackson Dart look like a Heisman candidate out of the gate.
Yeah, who'd have thought that? Who saw that coming?
Yeesh.
Jackson Dart's really good. And then Oregon comes in at seventh, followed by Penn State, Missouri, Michigan, rounding out the top 10. Michigan, slow out of the gate against Fresno State, surprising people with David Warren at quarterback instead of Alex Orji.
They kept that under wraps the whole time. That was incredible.
Yep, and the offense, it took a while to get humming, but they ended up pulling away late against Fresno State, winning 30-10. And I think the big fall in the noticeable falls here, I said it last Friday, right? I'm out on the ACC.
Oh, God, yes.
So out on the ACC.
They are not. It's Miami and no one else.
You saw Clemson drop 11 spots to 25th.
Which, why are they there?
Florida State, more on that later.
Yeesh.
They get embarrassed again. And now it's in Europe and in the United States, embarrassed. North America and Europe.
Mm.
They've gone across the ocean. Same results. They go from being a top 10 preseason team to out of the top 25.
And that's what happens when you get the crap kicked out of you by Golden Domers that aren't Notre Dame.
Well, it's not just out of the top 25. They did not even receive a single vote.
I mean, should they?
No. But have we ever seen a team go from top 10 in the preseason poll to week two poll
out,
not even getting a vote in the top 25? They don't deserve a vote.
No,
but
there's probably been a team or two, but
yikes.
And everybody's burying DJU, and we'll talk about that later. It's not all him. In fact, I'd say it's more on the trenches, but
I think it is a complete failure
from top to bottom.
Top to bottom at Florida State and what they got going on right now. But the AP top 25 has Oregon at 7. The coaches poll has Oregon at 6th. Mm. That is the update. Hey, little spoiler alert here, folks. I said Washington wasn't going to be that bad this year, and not as bad as what even their own fans are saying. They are a really well-coached team. Jed Fish brought some key pieces, albeit Noah Fafita and Tetrarroa McMillan have stayed in the desert and have stayed at Arizona.
God, if they would have gotten them.
Washington is ranked 25th in the coaches' poll after a 35-3 win over Weber State in week one. Keep your eye on that.
Yep.
Just keep your eye on that Washington team.
The little
team.
Bowling ball, Jonah Coleman, going to be their bell cow all season long.
Just like Alabama ran the damn ball with Kalen DeBoer, Washington, that's where their bread is going to be buttered, is running the football. They're going to have some growing pains with Will Rogers at quarterback, but you have a veteran back there. They are going to be okay, and your schedule affords you the ability to work out some kinks because they got Eastern Michigan this week, Washington State the next week, Northwestern the next, and then they have to go to Rutgers, which Rutgers is going to be
better.
A challenge.
Looking at this poll, there is a group of four teams that I'm looking at as like the disruptors. I know it's early in the season, but they're all in a row. Utah, Miami, USC, Tennessee. Those four teams are some of the most interesting teams in the country to me.
Yeah, they really are. In Miami, I give them a ton of credit. They look different. Cam Ward was fantastic and explosive. But are we giving them too much credit for beating a Florida team that
it's going to be bad.
Was not ranked in the top 25, has a coach that's a dead man walking entering the season, and then they lived up to all of the expectations of what we thought Florida might be?
Well, the flip side of that is it's still one playing in the swamp in 92-degree weather. I mean, you're from Miami, so you're used to it. But still, it's one of the most hostile environments in football, supposedly. But you go in there, you beat the crap out of them, and it's a Florida team that has the 13th best composite talent. If you look at it, it's 12, 13, 14. Florida State, Miami, Florida in composite talent. Only one of those teams is performing up to their talent level right now.
Absolutely.
But you go in there on the road, big game. And the best part about it was after the game when they're walking off the field yelling at the Florida recruits, you're at the wrong school.
Yeah.
My God. Did you see the Florida Florida PR director telling them all to shut up?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, because they know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
They know Billy Napier isn't the guy.
No.
Everybody at Florida knows Billy Napier is not the guy to lead that program. And now you had Miami doing Miami stuff. And it was the U swag, going old school
the
U.
The swag was back. And
yeah.
You could feel it.
Yeah.
Do you see the recruit that literally was at the Florida game and he flashed the U to the Miami players?
Look, that happens so often where you have these guys and fans always freak out like, oh, we have a commit that's taking a visit somewhere. A lot of times what happens is that recruit, all these recruits are on their, all the commits are on their little group thread and their group text. And they're like, let's go pull some other guys. Let's go pluck off some more talent. That happens where guys go to games to another school and they're actively recruiting for whatever school they're committed to. Now, it can be turned on its head where the school makes such an impression that guy goes, maybe I do think about it. But when something like that happens, that's worst case scenario for Florida.
Do you see the look on those kids' faces? Yeah. They're like,
uh-oh.
Am I going to the right place?
Uh-oh. All right. Let's get into Oregon, though. 24-14, they beat the University of Idaho. It wasn't the impressive performance that people were expecting. The game was far tighter and a lot sloppier than the expectations externally. And when you heard Dan Lanning talk after the game and yesterday at his press conference, not up to the standards of the University of Oregon either. Cause for concern or a blip on the radar? Next. First is Will with SportsCenter.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan. Sometimes
like a behind him. In fact, the fullback in front of him, give it to James, and he will stroll to the right side in the touchdown.
I formation, old school, run the ball. How about that? Up under center.
Look at that. Jerry and Jorgie on the call, as heard right here on The Fan on Saturday. Jordan James makes it 14-0. Ducks scoring out of the I formation. That was new. Probably something we haven't seen from the University of Oregon since, I don't know, 1998.
We talked about it. The return of the I formation to football. It's coming back, baby.
Yep. And we saw a little bit of it. There were bright spots, but I think what is plaguing a lot of Oregon fans and a lot of the questions around the rest of the world of college football is the University of Idaho keeping that game close and within striking distance, especially late in the game. What a confusing game it was to watch and really be a part of is being on the sidelines for that game. You were sitting there going, all right, when is the dam going to break? When are they going to keep leaning and keep leaning on Idaho? And you got to give Idaho, first of all, a ton of credit for not flinching, not backing down, just playing their asses off the entire game. I mean, for 60 minutes, they didn't flinch one time. But you also go, the University of Oregon, from a talent standpoint, from a historical standpoint, from the preseason expectations, from the internal expectations and the external expectations of the program, 24-14 left a lot of people with a bitter taste in their mouth following that game. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
As I was watching that game, couple things stood out. One, Dylan Gabriel is a, kind of a reincarnation of Bo Nix in the sense of timing, accuracy, ball placement.
Yep.
Just tick, 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 ball out quick, ball out quick, ball out quick. But in, I know you can speak to this even more. The offensive line was a problem for the Ducks. Defensively, they look great. The playmaking was all over the place, particularly from Mateo. But looking at that team, even in a win, that's probably the most disappointing win of the week in college football.
Yeah, and you go down, and if you were just to look at a stat sheet, Oregon gets 21 more first downs. They go 7 of 16 on third down. Idaho, you hold them to 2 of 12. You more than double them up in total yards, 487 to 217. You hold them to 168 yards passing to your 380. You win the turnover battle. You double them up in rushing yards. And you win the time of possession by nearly 20 minutes of time of possession. Mm-hmm. You sit there and you go, yeah, Oregon probably ran away with that game. And that just wasn't the case because of the self-inflicted wounds, right? It was, you would put a drive together, right? And you get two illegal formations on your right tackle, who's a preseason All-American, and Johnny Cornelius, because his head is not breaking the plane of the guard's hip, right? Which is what officials look for. He is too far back. Twice. You have a fumble where, you know, Dan Lanning during halftime or the post-game interview, he told me, you know, we had a protection issue where, you know, the running back blocks the defensive end into your quarterback, causing the sack fumble. A lot of folks said that's on Ajani Cornelius. Again, we don't know what the protections, the slides and all that, but initially that was the diagnosis from the head coach during the halftime interview. He said that there were miscues abound. And look, there is an element of, I think that from the outside, we may have undervalued the importance of losing the Remington Award winning center in Jackson Powers Johnson and a first round pick that will start week one in the NFL in Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
On what they do pre-snap.
Sure.
And getting you to that point of they have seen everything, they know everything, the checks pre-snap and getting you into that right spot. But again, there's also plenty of room and time to grow, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the stuff to grow with. Obviously, the offensive line, the changeover, the injuries, it's a real thing. Eight penalties is a real thing.
The penalties, it wasn't just the penalties, it was when they happened.
Yeah, drive-killing monsters. And the other one is inability, goes with the penalties, to keep things going on third downs. They racked up third down, 16 third downs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crap ton.
Yeah, well, you convert half of them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but getting to third down that many times is interesting. You don't typically see a number that high.
Well, and that was in part to Idaho's game plan, right? Everybody was saying, why aren't you taking more shots? Why aren't you taking more shots? And initially after the game, I was going, well, look at what they did. They brought pressure. They capped the defense in the back end with two safeties deep. They played off and they rallied to the ball. I have never seen an FCS team tackle as well as Idaho did, because it wasn't just like the first guy bringing somebody down. It was you would break a tackle and somebody else was right there. Their pursuit and their tackling, exceptional. And that led to some of those short throws that Dylan Gabriel took what the defense was giving him, and you said it, like that reincarnation of Bo Nix, right? Everybody's saying Bo Nix was a check down Charlie. Bo Nix is a check down Charlie. That's how the offense is built, mm-hmm. right?
Get guys into space and make plays.
You get the ball out quickly, make it, it's incumbent on the guys on the outside, make somebody miss, have an explosive. But when they did make a guy miss, somebody was right there. Credit to Idaho on that. And also, why aren't you taking more shots? Dan Lanning talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say none of it was really him not making the right read. I think they, you know, we took a shot early in the game down the field, and then they stopped playing that coverage that gave us the opportunity to take that shot. We called a lot of shot plays, and they played over the top, you know. So I think Dylan made the smart decision with where he took the ball, where he got to the ball. And, you know, you don't go, 41 of 50 passing if that's not the case. So he did a really good job of making decisions on where he could actually go with the ball, given the opportunity. They just eliminated some of those opportunities to take those shots. You know, I think more of your explosives are going to come whenever you do catch the ball in space. Who's going to break a tackle? Who's going to go cover up on the block downfield? And those are the things that we got to do a better job taking care of. And then being able to run the ball more effectively.
And that was a big one. And I think that goes to looking at the offensive line and the offensive line play. This is kind of where Oregon has built their identity, is in the trenches on the offensive side of the football. And there were, you look at the, and this is not an excuse to not being able to run the football against Idaho, right? But you look at where some of the stalling out happened, and this goes back to how good Jackson Powers Johnson was at getting you in the right spot, making sure everybody's on the same page, and making sure that, you know, you are moving down the field and getting a good push. Is, I think, in an ideal world, Matthew Bedford, who Dan Lanning updated the status on, Gary Bryant Jr., the wide receiver, and Matthew Bedford, the Indiana transfer right guard, both of those guys are trending towards playing against Boise State this week, according to Lanning yesterday. But you look at Bedford would be at right guard. Poncho, who started at center in the Fiesta Bowl, Poncho Laulu, would be at center. Marcus Harper is at left guard, right? Dave Iuli, who's another interior offensive lineman that is down with injury right now and trending in the right direction to a return. Also, a guy that you would anticipate to be in the lineup, and the way that guys got banged up, and again, this is like, you should still be able to run the football against Idaho, right?
Yeah, even if you take out Dylan Gabriel's sack yards, the minus 23,
yeah,
Oregon's still under 4 yards of carry against Idaho.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah, and look, a lot of it too, I mean, how many times did we see what Jaxton Eck, the coach's kid playing linebacker, ankle picking, right? Getting the ankles.
A lot of trip ups and knockdowns, yeah.
Holy smokes, like, so many of those small ones that you're just like, oh, he's so close to popping that big run. There's one, Jordan James has a green grass in front of him, gets tripped up by
the old carpet shark.
The old turf monster comes up and gets him. You had another one where it looked like Jordan James had one guy to beat. He goes to plant and cut, and he cramps up and just crumbles to the ground. You're going, those are the little things where it was a Murphy's Law game.
Yeah.
If it could go wrong, it did go wrong offensively. And you go, all right, you got to just kind of throw this one aside. It reminded me, and people didn't feel nearly as rattled by it. It felt a lot like the Texas Tech game last year.
Yeah.
But because Oregon goes down to Lubbock. It was 95 degrees.
Tortillas being thrown.
Sweltering hot. And people came out of that game questioning Oregon's offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really that good? You felt better about it because it was a Big 12 opponent that is really damn good at home. And you have a lot of the same questions. You're going, this is an FCS opponent from the Big Sky.
That's the difference. Is Tyler Shough is at Louisville now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you see him?
But, I mean, it was the defense was no concern.
No. Defensively, they look fine.
I mean, a third of Idaho's yards came on two plays.
Yeah.
A trick play and on that screen that they set up where, boy, you just got to make sure eye discipline, play your keys. Those things happen. But that's what an FCS school will do, is they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you, and they did.
The thing about this game isn't necessarily the scoreboard. This, for the first time, was a team that had expectations that were through the roof and was playing like a team that had earned something and has not earned anything yet. Dancing on the sidelines to shout in a game you have not put away against an FCS opponent. I'm genuinely surprised Lanning didn't go nuclear in the press conference. Just go full Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, because one of the things that I love about Lanning is that he has kept the cover on everything. And guys haven't gotten too high on their own supply. Yep. They aren't sniffing their own farts. That they go out there every day, every game, and you're getting their best effort. That was not Oregon's best effort. Not even close.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Yet 487 yards of total offense. It was repeatedly the shoot yourself in the foot moments, right? Yep. And that
you
is,
do that against a better opponent, though, you're screwed.
You are. You are.
That effort against Boise State's offense, you're giving up points.
I think you're, if you're a fan.
Well, I don't know if you're giving up as many. Again, the defense wasn't the problem. You're not scoring any, though.
No.
Well, actually, against Boise,
Boise
State's
defense,
they gave up 45 sucks. To Georgia Southern.
But again, I think if you're a fan,
but you're losing.
You need to watch the offensive line, specifically the right guard and right tackle, and especially if they get Bedford back. But where they were getting eaten alive was on twists and stunts. They weren't handling it well. And a large part of that does come from your center not communicating where everyone needs to be moving.
Chemistry and continuity up front.
But it's also them not taking care of their job.
Yep.
And so for the next 2 to 3 weeks, that's all those two are going to see, even if Bedford does come back and he's playing that right guard spot. So if you're a fan and you want to figure out if this offense is going to get back on track and look like it did last year, or if this is going to be a continuing problem that you're going to have to deal with the whole year, the next 2 weeks, those are the two guys that I would watch and see how they handle twists and stunts and defensive movement.
Dan Lanning isn't a bus driver, but he touched on his offensive line play in his media availability yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't play well enough, you know, and there were some, you know, miscommunications that we had to clean up, but certainly room for improvement. But they know that they didn't play to the standard that we want, and we can be better there.
A lot of that ire is coming on to, and I think unfairly so. We just talked about Bedford and Iuli, where they are going to be at. Charlie Pickard, and a lot of people questioning that entire right side of the offensive line that went from the center, Charlie Pickard, to Poncho Laulu, and then Ajani Cornelius. Dan Lanning talked about and addressed that right side of the O-line.
His communication was pretty good, but just like everybody on our team, some good, some bad, some things to improve. You know, once we have more people available, I think there is always opportunities to look and see what that lineup looks like. I think there's, regardless of if Matt's available or not, I think that that's something you always have to try to create at every position, that competition that makes you better and having more guys that can play winning football. So we'll see what it looks like as we move forward. But I think Charlie handled a lot of things really well. Charlie certainly wasn't the guy that didn't play was the guy that didn't play well on the offensive line. I think it was a unit. That's the unit that has to play well together,
yep.
Right? And it takes all five guys being on the same page and executing at a high clip. And he's part of that unit, right? So he has ownership in that. But on the same note, there were multiple guys that didn't play to their standard or our standard on Saturday.
You know, in that is a great point, because as Will was saying, the twists and the stunts and then replacing with the blitzing linebacker, you know, that's why Dylan Gabriel's getting the ball out quickly, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting the ball out because they're bringing just as many as they have to block.
And he's saying,
boom, get it out quick, do my job. Mm-hmm. Tez Johnson, 12 catches. Terrence Ferguson, 7 catches. You know, feeding the tight ends, that tight end room looks really good still. Still think that's an elite unit there. Mm-hmm. But when you have a center who is going through it first start and they are throwing the kitchen sink at him with all of those twists and stunts, and then you have the fact that Oregon went on a hard count I think only twice in the game, and they got Idaho to jump both times. Mm-hmm. Namely, the one that people remember is the 4th-and-7. They go on a hard count and Afalava, and give credit to Afalava, number 52. You had Jakari Larmon, number 5 in the middle, number 1 on the edge, number 96, Zach Krotzer. Those guys, they timed up the snap count, and they were on it, man. And Oregon went on a hard count, I think only twice, got them to jump both times. You probably sit there and you go, hindsight, Will Stein, Dylan Gabriel, and
switching up the count, probably
and
a good
Pickard,
idea.
His offensive, his center, they're probably going, probably should have switched up the count a little bit more. But I mean, again, that
I know
that,
3 sacks and 6 TFLs. That's
where you sit there and you go, how are those guys getting so much pressure?
Mm-hmm.
They timed up the snap count every single time. Afalava was a monster getting off the ball. And so you go, all right, how do you clean that up? Where do you go from week one to week two? Because everybody in the world now is watching what Idaho did and saying, yeah, we'll throw every stunt and twist that we possibly can at you.
it's interesting. We can talk about this when we talk about LSU, USC. Did you see what LSU was doing to USC on their switches? They got called for it twice.
Yeah, the shifts.
They were yelling and mimicking on top of it. It was there. I noticed there was a couple teams that were doing that this weekend. I was like, and it's an emphasis for officials to kind of snuff it out, but it seemed more egregious. Just like what was going on at the line of scrimmage across college football this week.
Well, that's been a few years in the making, which is why the officials are. And it's, you want to talk about a judgment call. You're going to have a judgment call on whether it was a deliberate and intentional shift of the defensive lineman to get the offensive line to jump.
I mean, LSU's was pretty dramatic.
Good luck. Yeah, theirs was really bad. And Brian Kelly having an aneurysm over it made my heart warm.
I mean, they were doing it on purpose. It was pretty clear.
Well, yeah, every team is doing it on purpose. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah. you can't make it that egregious, though. But it's just interesting that, like, what's going on at the line of scrimmage now in college football and how much I feel like hard counts and changing up your count used to be so often in college football, where a lot of it's just that one beat clap now for everyone.
And boy, Idaho. They timed that thing up.
They pinned their ears back. And when they didn't get there, they got, what, three knockdowns?
Maybe.
I know each end got one.
Yeah.
And I think there was a third from a linebacker on a blitz.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know that, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of them because Dylan Gabriel went 41 of 49.
Yeah. But if you're wondering, third downs.
If you're wondering how short if it seemed like he was throwing everything short, 40 of Dylan Gabriel's 49 attempts came 9 yards or under.
Yeah.
40 of 49. And that is, it's not him not taking shots. It's taking what the defense gives you. Those safeties capped the back end. Mm-hmm. They said, we are not getting beat deep. And they didn't. They didn't. Evan, and there were times where if there's a little bit more protection and they're not jumping the snap count and they're not, you know, bringing more than what you can block. There was one where Tez Johnson went in motion from left to right. He wheeled around Evan Stewart. Evan Stewart ran a skinny post and it was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Evan Stewart was wide open on a switch concept and Dylan Gabriel said, nope, gonna go short, to go short. So, it wasn't a case of DB or receivers not getting separation against DBs either.
No.
That was there.
Just the ball just had to come out.
It just had to come out and you take what they give you, and Idaho dared Oregon to drive 80 yards and make no mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they won that gamble. They won that gamble, and that's where Oregon needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some of your feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
What you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. What you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? What you gonna do? You wanna get down?
Hey, it's time for our Bellagio's Pizza Very Best Player of the Game. If you were listening after the game to the Ducks post-game scoreboard show right here on The Fan and know who our post-game show host selected as our Player of the Game, text your answer now to 503-864-6326. Each week, fan listener who is first to text the correct answer gets a free delicious pizza from Bellagio's. Dough and sauce made fresh 6 days a week right here in Wilsonville and proud to be serving the Northwest communities since 1996. Order online at bellagiospizza.com or through the Bellagio's app. Again, 503-864-6326. If you know who the Ducks Bellagio Pizza Player of the Game was, text it now to 503-864-6326. We have a text coming in on the Vancouver Ford text line. I've been to games for over 15 years, bowl games, national championships, all of it. And that performance by the Ducks was the worst that I have seen in over 15 years.
I don't necessarily disagree. You can say, talk about the Georgia game, but that wasn't necessarily the Ducks being bad as much as Georgia was just that team.
Yep.
Does Boise State fit in that, or is that 2012?
15 years ago would be the 09 Boise State game.
Okay. So
that, I would say that one.
That was worse.
Yeah, they've had some clunkers in there.
Yeah, Oregon got their asses handed to them in that game. That was not close.
I'll say the big difference in this one, the game that really pops the mind, Eastern Washington, anyone?
Ooh, I forgot about that one.
That game pops into my mind because of the points that Eastern Washington put up. Right now, it's not the defense is not a concern right now. Yeah. I thought the defensive line played really well. The edges, the young guys have taken a big step forward. Jordan Birch had his presence felt. Their defense was just fine. It is cleaning up a lot of the offensive self-inflicted wounds that happen. And I think one thing that really stuck out to me was the middle eight that Oregon thrives on, right? The 4 minutes right before half and the 4 minutes to start the second half. 0 points in the middle eight. 0 points in the middle eight, and you had a drive where that ended in a fumble in there. You had it right at the end of the half, and then you come out and you three and out, and then you turn over on downs to start the third quarter. You had four drives in the middle eight and got 0 points. That is where Oregon has
They're the best team thrived. In the country there last year, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah.
They were really damn good in the middle eight. And you clean those things up, and I think we feel a lot different. But right now, my level of concern, it's not like panic button.
No.
It is, all right, after this week, then we start to have those concerns.
If there are problems against Boise, then the eyebrows go up.
Yep.
Because if a team they're going to test you with more talent.
Yes, they will.
And if you're a one and a half score, it's a 10-point game. What are they, 14-point favorites right now?
I don't know what the line is.
18.
It was 24.5. Now it's 18.
Wow. Yeah. It got bet down that much?
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
Well, of course, big money's going to come in. Text says, but remember, Eastern Washington had Cooper Kupp. I don't care.
Yeah, who's throwing the ball?
I believe it was Vernon Adams.
Vernon Adams was playing for Oregon.
They had four or five NFL guys on that team.
Yeah. And that one doesn't. I don't. That one doesn't matter to me.
No.
What matters is they gave up points to Eastern Washington, and the offense was like, okay, we've got to pull more of that rope. The defense against Idaho was really damn good. The offense moved the ball and shot themselves in the foot.
Yes, there's just a lot to clean up.
Yep,
a lot to be desired.
Yep. All right. Let's get to hour number two, shall we? The Beavs, Cougs, and Huskies all made statements, and that's where we head to start hour number two. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.